a reading from the book Pictures from Pilgrim's Progress by Charles Spurgeon, Christian and Apollyon. Now Christian bethought himself of setting forward, and they were willing he should. But first they said, "Let us go again into the armory." So they did, and when he came there, they harnessed him from head to foot with what was of proof, lest perhaps he should meet with assaults in the way. John Bunyan, with great wisdom, puts the palace beautiful first, and then all sooner does Christian get out of the palace gates than he begins to descend into the valley of humiliation. They had given him a sword and a shield and a helmet. He had never had those before. Now that he had a sword, he found that he had to use it against Apollyon. Now that he had a shield, he had to hold it up to catch the fiery dart. Now that he received the weapon of all prayer, he found that he had need of it as he walked through that desperate place of Valley of the Shadow of Death. God does not give his people weapons to play with. He does not give them strength to spend on their lusts. Lord, if you have given me these goodly weapons, it is sure I shall need them in hard fighting. If I had a feast at your table, I will remember that it is but a short walk from the upper chamber to the Garden of Gethsemane. Daniel, the man greatly beloved, was reduced very low. All his comeliness was turned into corruption, and he retained no strength. When God showed him the great vision, thus too with favored John, he must be banished to Patmos. In the deep solitude of that aged sea-girt island, he must receive the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him. I have noticed in the ordinary scenes of Christian experience that our greatest joys come just after some of our sorest trials. When the howling tempest has played out its strength, it soothes itself to sleep. Then comes a season of calm and quiet, so profound in its stillness that only the monstrous tempest could have been the mother of so mighty a calm. So seems it with us, deep waves of trial, high mountains of joy. But the reverse is almost as often true. From Pisgah's top we pass to our graves. From the top of Carmel we have to go down to the dens of lions and the fight with the leopards. Let us be in our watchtower, lest like Manoah, having seen the angel of God, the next thing should be that we say we shall surely die, for we have seen the Lord. Then he began to go forward, but discretion, piety, charity, and prudence would accompany him down to the foot of the hill. So they went on together, reiterating their former discourses, till they came to go down the hill. Then said Christian, "As it was difficult coming up, so far as I can see, it is dangerous going down." "Yes," said Prudence, "so it is. For it is a hard manner for a man to go down into the valley of humiliation, as thou art now, and to catch no slip by the way." Therefore, they said, "Are we come out to accompany you down the hill?" So he began to go down, but very warily, yet he caught a slip or two. Satan does not often attack a Christian who is living near to God. It is when the Christian departs from his God, becomes spiritually starved, and endeavors to feed on vanities, that the devil discovers his vantage hour. He may sometimes stand foot to foot with the child of God who is active in his master's service, but the battle is generally short. He who slips as he goes down into the valley of humiliation every time he takes a false step invites Apollyon to assail him. Oh, for grace to walk humbly with our God. Then I saw in my dream that these good companions, when Christian was gone down to the bottom of the hill, gave him a loaf of bread, a bottle of wine, and a cluster of raisins. And then he went his way. But now in this valley of humiliation, poor Christian was hard put to it. For he had gone but a little way before he espied a foul fiend come all over the field to meet him. His name is Apollyon. Then did Christian begin to be afraid and to cast in his mind whether to go back or to stand his ground. But he considered again that he had no armor for his back, and therefore thought that to turn the back to him might give him greater advantage with ease to pierce him with his darts. Therefore he resolved to venture and stand his ground. For, thought he, had I no more in mine eye than the saving of my life, it would be the best way to stand. John Bunyan does not picture Christian as carried to heaven while asleep in an easy chair. He makes him lose his burden at the cross foot, but he represents him as climbing hill difficulty on his hands and knees. Christian has to descend into the valley of humiliation and to tread the dangerous pathway through the gloomy horrors of the shadow of death. He has to be urgently watchful to keep himself from sleeping in the enchanted ground. Nowhere is he delivered from the necessities incident to the way, for even at the last he fords the black river and struggles with its terrible billows. Effort is used all the way through, and you that are pilgrims to the skies will find it to be no allegory, but a real matter of fact. Your soul must gird up her loins. You need your pilgrim staff and your armor. You must foot it all the way to heaven, contending with giants, fighting with lions, and combating Apollyon himself. So he went on, and Apollyon met him. Now the monster was hideous to behold. He was clothed with scales like a fish, and they are his pride. He had wings like a dragon and feet like a bear, and out of his belly came fire and smoke, and his mouth was as the mouth of a lion. When he was come up to Christian, he beheld him with a disdainful countenance, and thus began to question him. Apollyon, whence came you, and where are you bound? I am come from the city of destruction, which is a place of all evil, and I am going to the city of Zion. By this I perceive that you are one of my subjects, for all that country is mine, and I am the prince and god of it. How is it then that you have run away from your king? Or it not that I hope that you may do me more service, I would strike you now at one blow to the ground. I was indeed born in your dominions, but your service is hard, and your wages such as a man could not live on. For the wages of sin is death. Therefore, when I was come to years, I did, as other considerate persons do, look out, if perhaps I might mend myself. Apollyon, there is no prince that will thus lightly lose his subjects, neither will I as yet lose you. But since you complain of your service and wages, be content to go back, and what our country will afford, I do here promise to give you. But I have given myself to another, even to the king of princes. And how can I with fairness go back with you? Apollyon, you have done in this, according to the proverb, change the bad for worse. But it is ordinary for those that have professed themselves as servants, after a while to give him the slip, and return again to me. If you do so, all will be well. I have given him my faith, said Christian, and sworn my allegiance to him. How then can I go back from this and not be hanged as a traitor? Apollyon, you did the same to me, and yet I am willing to pass by all, if now you will yet return again and go back. Christian, what I promise you was in my nonage. And besides, count that the prince under whose banner I now stand is able to absolve me. Yea, and the pardon also what I did is to my compliance with you. And besides, O you destroyer Apollyon, to speak the truth, I like his service, his wages, his servants, his government, his company and country, better than yours. Therefore leave off to persuade me further. I am a servant, and I will follow him. I have met with some who were of a fearful heart, afraid that they would be lost because they felt that they had at some period of their lives neglected Christian duty. This is an old temptation that Satan often casts in the way of godly people. You remember how, in addition to the base insinuations which we have quoted, Apollyon charged poor Christian with being unfaithful. He said, you did faint at first setting out, when you were almost choked in the slough of despond. You did attempt wrong ways to be rid of your burden, whereas you should have stayed until the prince had taken it off. You did sinfully sleep and lose your choice. You were also almost persuaded to go back at the sight of the lions. And when you talk of your journey and what you have heard and seen, you were inwardly desirous of vainglory in all that you said or did. Now, if any of you should be troubled by similar accusations from the adversary, recollect that since Christ did not love you for your good works, they were not the cause of his beginning to love you. So he does not love you for your good works even now. They are not the cause of his continuing to love you. He loves you because he will love you. What he approves in you now is that which he has himself given to you. That is always the same and ever abides as it was. The life of God is ever within you. Jesus has not turned away his heart from you, nor has the flame of his love decreased in the smallest degree. Therefore, faint heart, fear not, be strong. Then Apollyon broke out into a grievous rage, saying, I am an enemy to this prince. I hate his person, his laws, and his people. I come out on purpose to withstand you. Apollyon, beware what you do, for I am in the king's highway, the way of holiness. Therefore, take heed to yourself. Then Apollyon straddled quite over the whole breadth of the way and said, I am void of fear in this matter. Prepare yourself to die, for I swear by my infernal den that you shall go no further. Here I will spill your soul. And with that he threw a flaming dart at his breast. But Christian had a shield in his hand with which he caught it, and so prevented the danger of that. Then did Christian draw, for he saw it was time to bestir him. And Apollyon as fast made at him, throwing darts as thick as hail, by the which, notwithstanding all the Christian could do to avoid it, Apollyon wounded him in his head, his hand, and his foot. This made Christian give a little back. Apollyon therefore followed his work amain, and Christian again took courage and resisted as manfully as he could. This sore combat lasted for above half a day, even until Christian was almost quite spent. For you must know that Christian, by reason of his wounds, must needs grow weaker and weaker. This is no mere figure. He that has ever met Apollyon will tell you that there is no mistake about the matter, but that there is a dread reality in it. Christian met Apollyon when he was in the valley of humiliation, and the dragon did most fiercely beset him with fiery darts. He sought to destroy him and take away his life. Brave Christian stood to him with all his might and used his sword and shield right manfully, until his shield became studded with a forest of darts and his hand cleaved his sword. For many an hour man and dragon fought. I think I see him now before me, that dread fallen spirit, the archenemy of our souls. Oh, Satan, you have thrust sore at me. Many a child of God must utter this exclamation. It is no fault of Satan's if we are not quite destroyed. It is not for lack of malice or subtlety or fury or perseverance on the devil's part if we still hold the field. He has met us many times, using all kinds of weapons, shooting from the right hand and from the left. He has tempted us to pride and despair, to care and to carelessness, to presumption and to idleness, to self-confidence and a mistrust of God. We are not ignorant of his devices, nor inexperienced in his cruelties. I know that I am addressing many saints of God who can use David's language with emphasis. You have thrust sore at me that I might fall, for I dwell among a tried and tempted people. The battle between the soul of the believer and the devil is a stern one. No doubt there are multitudes of inferior spirits who tempt men and tempt them successfully too. But they are much more easily put aside by godly men than their great leader can be. Then Apollyon, spying his opportunity, began to gather up close to Christian, and wrestling with him gave him a dreadful fall. And with that Christian's sword flew out of his hand. Then said Apollyon, I am sure of you now. And with that, he almost pressed him to death. The Christian began to despair of life. But as God would have it, while Apollyon was fetching his last blow, thereby to make a full end of this good man, Christian nimbly reached out his hand for his sword and caught it, saying, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise." And with that, he gave him a deadly thrust, which made him give back, as one that had received his mortal wound. Christian, perceiving that, made at him again, saying, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conqueror through him that loved us." Romans 8, verse 37. And with that, Apollyon spread forth his dragon's wings and sped him away. The Christian saw him no more, James 4, verse 7. At last, a fin gave Christian a horrible fall, and down he went upon the ground. And woe worth the day, at the moment when he fell, he dropped his sword. Behold, the dragon drawing up all his might, planting his foot upon Christian's neck, and about to hurl the fiery dart into his heart. "Aha, I have you now," he says. "You are in my power." But when the dragon's foot was about to crush the very life out of poor Christian, he stretched out his hand. He grasped his sword, and giving a desperate thrust at his foe, he cried, "Rejoice not over me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall rise again." So desperately did he cut the dragon that he spread his wings and flew away. And Christian went on his journey rejoicing in his victory. The true believer understands all this. It is no dream to him. He has been under the dragon's foot many a time. Awe in all the world put on a man's heart at once is not equal in weight to one foot of the devil. When Satan once gets the upper hand of the spirit, he wants neither strength nor will nor malice to torment it. Hard is that man's lot who has fallen beneath the hoof of the evil one. But blessed be God, the child of God is ever safe. As safe beneath the dragon's foot as he shall be before the throne of God in heaven. And let all the powers of earth and hell and all the doubts and fears that Christians ever know conspire together to molest a saint. In the darkest moment, lo, God shall arise, and his enemies shall be scattered. And he shall get unto himself the victory. Oh, for faith to believe this. In this combat, no man can imagine, unless he had seen and heard as I did, what yelling and hideous roaring Apollyon made all the time of the fight. He spake like a dragon, and on the other side, what sighs and groans burst from Christian's heart. I never saw him all the while give so much as one pleasant look, until he had perceived he had wounded Apollyon with his two-edged sword. And then indeed he did smile and look upwards, but it was the dreadfulest fight that ever I saw. Apollyon is master of legions, and possesses the highest degree of power and craftiness. He who has once stood foot to foot with him will know that Christian was indeed hard put to it in the valley of humiliation, when the dragon stopped the pilgrim's way and made him fight for his life. No Christian will find much to smile at while he is contending for his faith, his hope, his life, with this most cruel of foes. Messengers of Satan buffet us terribly, but Satan himself wounds desperately. Wherefore we are wisely taught to pray, "Deliver us from the evil one." Single combat with the archenemy will strain every muscle of the soul and pain every nerve of the spirit. It will force a cold sweat from the brow and make the heart leap with palpitations of fear, and thus in some degree bring us to our Gethsemane and make us feel that the pains of hell have gotten hold upon us. The prince of darkness has a sharp sword, great cunning of fence, tremendous power of aim, and boundless malice of heart. And thus he is no mean adversary, but one whom it is a terrible trial to meet. And his dread personality is contained a mass danger for us poor mortals. When poor Christian was down under Apollyon's foot, his life was nearly pressed out of him. But he saw that, as God would have it, the sword which had fallen out of his hand was just within his reach. So he stretched out his hand and grasped that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And with it he gave his adversary such a terrible stab that he spread his dragon wings and flew away. Oh, to give the fiend such a stab as that. Let us tell out the promises. Let us proclaim the gospel. Let us publish everywhere the free grace of God. And in this way we shall turn a battle to the gate and cause those who pursued us to be themselves pursued. Alleluia for the cross of Christ. We bear it forward into the ranks of the foe, confident of victory. Our courage fails not, neither does our hope wax faint. The Lord who has helped us is a God of victories. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Pictures from Pilgrim's Progress by Charles Spurgeon.